Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have World Council of Credit Union's very own Andy Price. He is here talking about their global regulatory update and all the details that come along with it. So great talk there. And we also have a kind of a second part of the interview as well, where Andy talks about a panel at the GAC that they're going to be hosting on international advocacy and why it matters, with a focus on some of the World Council's work in Ukraine. So don't miss that session at GAC for sure. So, but he gives us a bit of a appetizer on what's going to be talked about there and the guests that they're going to have as well. So really, really good stuff here from Andy. So I hope you check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have one of the fine gentlemen in the credit union industry. That'd be Mr. Andy Price from the World Council of Credit Unions. Andy, how are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Great to be with you today.
Ah, good that you're here, because you guys just released, oh, hello, Mr. Mike. We just released the global regulatory update. And this is to kind of help consumers weather the financial shocks that are out there. And it's all sorts of great information that you guys put out here. So with that said, can you just give us a quick overview of this current regulatory update that you guys just released?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we try to put this out every year. Well, we do put it out every year about this time in January. And it's really designed to you know, let the rest of the world what we're working on at the international level, try to give them a preview of regulations and changes. We work with the international standard setting bodies, and what it gets adopted there tends to get at the national level. A lot of the countries, their finance ministers participate in the international standard setters. So what gets agreed to there, they tend to adopt. And so we think it kind of gives you a preview of what's coming down the pike as far as credit union regulations. But we also, with the global regulatory, we try to put it into kind of a world context and put it in context of what's going on with the world, because I think that's helpful and for helpful to understand how these things get shaped. The international standard setters take their direction from the G20, from the leaders of the country they get together.
Okay.
They put out a leaders declaration, which kind of gives direction to the international standard setters. And we work with them as well, also to try and help shape credit union regulation. So we try and put that global perspective on what's happening out there.
Yeah, this is such a big job that you guys do. I don't know how you guys do it. It's just amazing to me that you guys take all this stuff from a global perspective and boil it down here. So one of the big takeaways is kind of what we talked about at the top here, was helping consumers weather the financial shocks that are going to be happening this year. And so can you expand on that a little bit? Because obviously there's the recession looming and interest rates and inflation still. So can you expand on that one a little bit?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we're seeing. We're coming, I don't know if the word through pandemic or we're surviving the pandemic or something, we're doing something with the pandemic, but yeah. it's clearly created supply chain disruptions, economic shocks out there. The conflict in Ukraine is going on. I think we are headed, in most people, a global recession of some sort, maybe varying degrees in different places around the world. But we think it's going to be hard from an economic standpoint. I think most people are seeing that as well. But to that end, I want to put it into context and history because of credit unions' role during times of financial shocks. If you think to the history of credit unions. I'm not here to debate it, but most people say the origins of credit unions were during the potato famine in Germany. That's where kind of the first credit union cooperative model. But that was in response to economic shocks, the potato famine, and getting financial services to those people who were underserved. In the United States, the Federal Credit Union Act was adopted in 1934 in response to the Great Depression, designed to get credit unions to help out during economic shocks where the banks were failing and were pulling back and conserving. We see that in economic shocks. Banks tend to get conservative, to pull back, consolidate. Credit unions do not, in part because of their cooperative model. We mobilize deposits, we earn retained earnings. When financial shocks happens, we are the ones that can continue to lend. We saw that during the financial crisis, and mortgage lending kept going when banks were pulling back. And so we see that around the world. I think this crisis is no different. It's credit unions that they're going to turn to, who are going to help people through the troubled time. We, in our experience, we helped. I'll give you a few quick examples. Sure. I have many of them.
Sure.
Rwanda during the genocide, we helped rebuild credit unions there to help them after that. We currently have projects in Peru and Ecuador designed to help refugees coming out of Venezuela to get repatriated and new jobs, and that's going on. It is times of disasters when credit unions really step up. Kuna always called it financial first responders. I think that's really true. That bears out in part because of our cooperative model. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so our advocacy work, my first issue there is the G20 and financial inclusion, because it's focused on making sure that model gets contemplated, understood, and supported, and they let it work, because you need it during this time of economic shocks for credit unions to help people with their basic financial needs coming through what's going to be this troubled time.
Yeah, no doubt. And even the most recent, you know, the pandemic, like we talked about, alluded to a little bit ago, I mean, that created an economic shock. And so credit unions continue to stand up and step up in that during that time as well. So yeah, great examples across the board throughout many, many years for sure. So there's a lot of issues that you guys covered in this regulatory update, but let's cover maybe a couple of them. So which ones did you want? We can talk about the G20 and financial inclusion if you wanted that one, since you brought up the G20 earlier.
I think that's the best one, because it's the one that I think supports credit unions and the credit union cooperative model, our member-owned structure, the most, and it's getting recognition not only at the G20 but with the international standard setters. More, the latest meeting was in how did I draw a blank on that? It's in New Delhi, India this year. I'm missing the. My country's Bali, Indonesia. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
How did I forget that? It came out of Bali, Indonesia, and it endorsed a lot of efforts on financial inclusion. Several items in there. There's a G20 2020 Financial Inclusion Action Plan that got endorsed, along with a couple of other things. The key that's important there is the concept that they endorsed enabling and proportional legal frameworks that encourage financial inclusion. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of high level generic, but it's actually important, because what it means, the direction to the international standard setters, is tailoring the regulations so that smaller credit, less complex credit union systems can work, that the rules designed for those larger banks aren't strictly applied to us, and we're required to comply with where we don't have the ability or it doesn't complete our model. And as a result of that, last year, we saw guidance come out of the Basel Committee about the Basel III framework and how national level regulators can implement proportionality to allow our systems to work. We saw language that came out of the Financial Action Task Force that sets all your Anti-Money Laundering Bank Secrecy Act regulations, where they specifically had a finding that the failure to implement proportionality is leading to financial exclusion. So it's telling national level organizations, when you set anti-money laundering rules, you have to make it work for the smaller institutions, right? And it's important to do that. More, and I didn't even make this addition because it just came out of the Basel Committee about the implementation of the Basel III framework. There's an entire section on there on complexity and how it's exacerbating the inability of smaller financial institutions to be able to provide financial services, leading to consolidation in the banking industry. And so that message from the work from the G20 is filtering down to them, and they are starting now to understand the importance of allowing the credit union model to work. I mean, and hooray, you know, it means less regulatory burden, but it also means letting credit unions do what they do best.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other ones that you guys have in there, you talked about anti-money laundering and combating the financing of terrorism. That's a big one out there. There's payments, sustainable finance, and climate change, another biggie. And also probably the one that's probably top of our brains all the time is cybersecurity and digitization. Yeah. Did you want to expand on any of those? Anyone that kind of prioritized in your brain? I mean, I know they're all important, but...
I'm not sure how everybody understands the implications of sustainable finance and where that's coming from. From the United Nations declarations that are on that, to the Paris Climate Accords, where you're seeing now wholesale changes in not only the banking sector, but every sector, that we all have to change our behavior in order to address climate change. that is getting direction from the G20. All of the regulators are on it. We have seen a myriad of standards come out of the international standard setters. Now the Basel Committee, the Principles for the Effective Management and Supervision of Climate-Related Risks, which is top to bottom. How are you investing? How are you running your organization? Can you document that your products are actually, if you have a green mortgage, actually contributing some amount of the climate exchange? It's shaping that so that credit unions can do that, so that we can get the information, so that we can do the document. We're not scientists. We can't. How do you analyze hurricane patterns? That's not what a credit union does. They lend. So getting information is a critical component of that for credit unions, in ways they can understand and implement and continue to operate. But there's something going on where I think credit unions are going to shine, and it's because of our cooperative model, and that's the social benefits that they provide that's getting included in the environmental social governance. The EU is looking to adopt a social taxonomy where we're looking to say, hey, because of our credit union model, we're community-based. We lend only in our communities. We don't pay stockholders. The lending that we do is elevating people in their financial services. You need to consider that. We need to be able to check the box by being a credit union because of that. There's tremendous opportunities for us to demonstrate that value that the credit union cooperative model brings. And we are advocating to get that incorporated into all of these climate things that go down, so that we get credit for exactly what we do and what we do best.
I'm going to go back to it. I mean, the work you guys do there at the council is just second to none. I love this type of stuff. And before we get to the second part of our interview here, is there anything else to add here regarding the regulatory update that you want to address real quick?
No, there's a lot of coming.
There's a lot in here.
I would say keep an eye on payments. I mean, the G20 has put down, they've even adopted benchmarks for faster, more transparent, more inclusive, more transparent cross-border payments. There's a lot of work going on there on digital, central bank digital currencies. Those are going on. What's going? Crypto's going on.
I almost said crypto. Yes.
Well, that's being looked at as a possible, you know, use. And how do you do that? And all of these, of course, it's a lot of transformation that's coming in that area. And I would keep an eye. I'm not smart enough to figure it all out myself, frankly. It's too complicated. But the amount of work that's being done at the international standards level, at the EU level, in the United States, in Australia, and Singapore, it's the transformation that's coming in that area, I think, is coming. It's coming quickly, and we need to keep our eye on it.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No truer words have been said today, for sure. Yeah. And I think they're all kind of connected as well, all of these issues that you listed here, for sure. So, all right, the second part of this interview is talking about, we're going to switch gears to the GAC, which is going to be here before you know it. Can you tell us about this panel that you guys are going to have there at the GAC on international advocacy and why it matters, with a focus on some of the World Council's work in Ukraine? Because I think this is going to be a standing room only session for sure. So can you share with us a little bit?
I'm really excited, but it's actually coming back to a lot of the things that I touched on, making the credit union model work and making it work for people who need financial services during times of disaster. No better example than what's going on in Ukraine. The World Council currently has a project that's ongoing there, focused on agricultural lending. If you can imagine food insecurity and getting this going on, food. We have our credit union. The good news is our credit unions are there, and they're still lending and still operating. Don't get me wrong; they're
in Ukraine.
In Ukraine,
wow, they're
still going on. We have staff on the ground in there, and so it brings it back to the importance of credit unions. And this year, the catalyst for rebuilding. That's exactly what they're going to do in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They're doing it right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think having that credit union cooperative model supported, and just a quick thank you, because I give kudos to the National Bank of Ukraine, who regulates credit unions there and is working hard to keep them going. Big thanks to the NCUA, who has been lending their technical expertise to help them do that well, mm-hmm. and to the Ukrainian diaspora that's here and their support that's going on. incredible. I mean, it's that credit union community that's going to keep them going. But that draws back to my point that what happens internationally, that support for the credit union matters to you, the international advocacy. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to focus on. We have Alyssa Stechnin, who's from our CAP program in Ukraine. She's coming. She is dynamite. If you've never seen her speak, she's everything that you think of as a Ukrainian, she represents and is very passionate.
Awesome.
We'll speak there. Rafał Matuziak from the Polish Association, yep, will be here to speak about. They're front and center on the helping everybody in Ukraine and what they're doing, I think, as well. And Anatoly Murha, who works for a Ukrainian Self-Reliance Credit Union. He's amazing too. The work that he's done for the diaspora here and helping to support Ukraine. So that's going to be our panel, and we're going to put it in the context of why the international advocacy matters.
What a panel! Oh my gosh! Yeah, do not miss that one, because yeah, I interviewed Rafał last year, and phenomenal human being there, and the work that you guys are doing and what they're doing over there is just, yeah, again, second to none. It's truly heroic work that's going on there. And also, mm-hmm, Poland has a really, as we all know, Poland has a really strong credit union system as well. So they're, you know, they're, mm-hmm, lending their support as well. So yeah, it's just a big, strong effort from a lot of folks in that end. And so, yeah. And what can attendees expect from this panel? I know it's going to be riveting. Just the conversations and the stories alone are going to be worth attending that. So what else can they expect attending this panel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. It's good. I hope they do what I do. I'm just going to soak it up, frankly.
Me too.
Look, what's going on there? The people helping people, that credit union model. I mean, you see it at work when it really matters. And I think there are lessons that we can all learn from that here in the United States, here and back home. And what's happening there, I think, is going to be instructive. And God, I hope it's going to be, at the end of the day, an uplifting story for us all. I think just let's soak it up, take it in, and let's learn from it. Yeah. So.
Well, and then also continue your support as well from, you know, the credit unions here in the United States can certainly continue their massive support to the folks over there as
please
well.
Please do. It's an advocacy Congress. We're going to Congress to ask them for our support. And so I hope they can take from this and take that as they go in for a keynote conference. They're going to go visit the Hill.
Yep.
Just take that message and tell them to support us. So.
No doubt. Yeah. I know there's going to be a lot of great sessions at the GAC. Obviously, they do a wonderful job each and every year. But man, put this one down, put a star by this one, and attend this panel, mm-hmm, for sure. Because, it's going to be riveting. The stories that are going to be told are going to be second to none. So good stuff here. Anything else to add to wrap up here, Andy? This is fantastic.
I talked probably way too much. I could talk all day about a lot of these issues. I do thank you for your support. By the way, it's not just World Council, it's the entire community that does this between CUNA, the leagues, the association, the credit union. My God, all over the, we get so much support from them. It's not just that, it's all of us in it together. Yeah. So.
Well, we're all big one happy family, that's for sure. It's a big community, and we all come together in times of need. And we've proven that, like you said at the top of the show, over the years, many, many, many times. And this is just one more great effort that we're all going to come together for sure. So yeah, again, yeah, not going to miss this panel for sure. All right, Andy, I'm going to let you get going.
Yep.
Appreciate the time as always. I know you're a busy, busy guy, so we appreciate your time and your expertise, and look forward to the next chat.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.